We have been looking at the 119th Psalm, where the emphasis is upon the Word of God, the Bible, different words being used to describe the Bible. And we're coming to the fourth section this evening, Psalm 119 and the verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardst me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous ways. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. I've been suggesting to you that the different Hebrew letters have various significances. So, for example, the Hebrew letter Beth signifies a house, and the Hebrew letter Daleth, the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, signifies a door. Now, what's very interesting is that through this part of the psalm, the great emphasis that we have coming out is the idea of the way. And so out of the eight verses in the section, five of them in the Hebrew begin with the word way. And so in verse 26 there, you'll see I've declared my ways. And so the Hebrew verse begins with ways. Then verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precept. And so, as I've said, the Hebrew letter signifies a door, coming from the idea of a hanging. And so it's a door that's hanging down, perhaps a curtain or a door on the hinges. And it provides this way of access. And what this part of the psalm seems to be saying is that there is entrance then into a way, into the way of life. Two verses in this section speak of a great struggle. And the language is a great struggle of the soul. And I think what it's indicating is that there are two sections within this section. The first three verses and then the next five. So verse 25, it says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And in some way, the experience of the psalmist is like unto burial or unto death. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And then in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness, or my soul is dropping down. My strength is all drained away, because he goes on to say, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Now, evidently, the psalmist is using this language then to describe the suffering that he is experiencing at that particular time. His suffering is like burial. It can be likened unto death. His suffering can be likened unto this heaviness, this dropping down, and so there's a need of renewed strengthening. And in both cases then, there is this confession. This is how I feel myself to be. And there's a looking to the Lord then for help. In the case of verse 25, quicken thou me. And in the case of verse 28, strengthen thou me. Now, this section of the psalm, the fourth section of Psalm 119, I believe has a fulfillment in Christ as well as in the life of the believer today. And so, while of course this was a psalm describing the experience of the psalm in a particular context, there is a fulfillment in our blessed Lord. And then for you and I, dear Christian, there is a fulfillment as well. And so remember, the letter Daleth signifies the door. And so Jesus Christ is the door. He declared himself to be the door. And you'll remember in John chapter 10, that great chapter where Christ, taking the title of the I Am, that he does a number of times in the Gospel of John, he is there, the shepherd, I am the good shepherd. But in the midst of all of that, he says that he is the door. So John 10 verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. And then again in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so the very basic level, the Lord there surely is saying, I am the entrance. I am the way of access. He doesn't say, I am the window. If the Lord was the window, we would be looking in at eternal matters, but not ever experiencing them. My granny used to speak of men that would come to a house and they had some attraction to the young ladies in that house. And my granny would say, they may look in, but they will never look out. They'll come to the window, but they'll never come through the door. Well, thankfully, it's not like that in John chapter 10. The Lord says, I am the door. There's not just a looking in, but there is real access. And the picture there is in the context of shepherding, where the sheep, they have entered into the sheepfold through the shepherd. Because in those days, where the shepherd was living with the sheep, there would be a place of safety where the sheep would be brought in the evenings. And the sheep would come into the fold by the shepherd. That is, the shepherd would stand at the entrance. They would pass under his rod. They would enter in. And then during the night, he would be the door, for he would sleep there in that entrance. At least he would be there in the entrance. He was guarding the way, he was protecting the sheep. And so we have entered in through the shepherd. We are safe there in the shepherd. And the Lord spoke in what to us might be unusual language in John 10, 9. He shall be saved, shall go in and out. Does this mean that we can go in and out from salvation? Can we lose our salvation? No, that's not what the Lord is saying, for he goes on to describe it, and find pasture. And it's really building on language from Numbers 27, Numbers 27, 17, where it speaks of this one that would be raised up, who would go in and out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And so the shepherd is the one that brings in and brings out. And yes, we have our entrance in through the shepherd, and but as we have been joined to this shepherd, we remain with him, and he brings us in and out to pasture. And so Joshua, he was like a door. He led the people into the promised land, but he didn't abandon them. He continued to lead them. And Christ then is the greater than Joshua. Remember, the name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua and Jesus meaning deliverer. And Christ then, he is the door of the sheep. He is our protection. He is the one that brings us to pasture. We pass under his rod. And so as I've said then, we can look at this section from the point of view of Christ. He is the door. He is the way, and we'll come to that in a moment or two. But we can also look at this section from the point of view of the believing sinner, that we have actually entered in through the one who is the door. Now, I want to see with you, first of all, that in this section of the psalm, we see the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. And so, if we think about the psalm, first of all, from the point of view of Christ as the one who is the speaker. And so we'll look at it from the other point of view in a moment or two. But first of all, looking at it in this way, that Christ is the speaker. My soul, verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And if we think of the psalm then, or the section of the psalm from the point of view of Christ, he is speaking here in his humiliation, and in that latter part of his humiliation, in his own passion, death looms before him, and so he can speak in this language, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. But in his humiliation, in his passion, he makes this great prayer, quicken thou me. And so he is looking beyond the humiliation. He is looking to the resurrection. And here is his prayer, that the Lord would not leave the body in the grave. And of course we have that in a number of the Psalms, where the Lord in the Psalms, he is praying that his body would not be left in the grave, that his body would not see corruption, that there would be this coming forth unto the resurrection of life. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And here is Christ's prayer then, that there would be a quickening, that the resurrection would take place. And so if you look at verse 28 again then, from the point of view of Christ in prayer, my soul melteth for heaviness. My soul is poured out. And again, we have that type of language in the Psalms. In Psalm 22, though it's a different Hebrew word for poured there. I am poured out like water. Poured out. My soul melteth, or my soul droppeth. My soul is poured out for heaviness. And remember, in the garden, the Lord is described in terms of the heaviness. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. There was this great weight, as it were, upon him. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. And the Lord was upheld there in the garden. Remember how the angel came and strengthened him. He was strengthened the whole way through the passion. He was sustained in the trial before the high priest, in the trial before Pilate, strengthened even before Herod, strengthened the whole way to the cross, and in it, strengthen thou me according to thy word. And the resurrection then did come. Because if you look at verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And as the Lord testifies to us today, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what is this testimony? It's of the Lord's wondrous works, that Christ is no longer in the grave. He is risen triumphant. In verse 29, remove me from the way of lying. Now, as we see this in terms of Christ speaking, the lies, of course, are not Christ's lies. But Christ in his passion suffered on account of the deceit of others. Didn't he suffer on account of the deceit of the Jews? Pilate knew that he had been handed over on account of envy. We think of the false witnesses that were employed against Christ as he appeared before the high priest. We think of that appeal of the Jewish leaders to Pilate to seal the tomb, and how they spoke of Christ as the old deceiver, but of course they were the liars, they were the deceitful ones. They came with this guise, we don't believe that there'll be a resurrection, but seal the tomb just in case. But of course it was the way of lying, they were in great fear that there would be a resurrection. And so Christ, he prays here, remove me from the way of lying, grant me thy law graciously. And in verse 31, I've stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Christ would not be put to shame. He would not remain under shame. There was this humiliation, but it gave way to exaltation. Yes, there was the suffering, as we see here, the melting of soul, the heaviness. But our Lord was not finally put to shame. He has been exalted. The one who is the door. The way was not broken, but rather through his death, the way was guaranteed. The entrance was guaranteed. And so looking at it from the point of view, we see from the point of view of Christ, we see the exaltation, the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. But then I want us to look at this from the point of view of the repentant believer. And so we'll look at the humility and confession of sin. The humility and confession of sin at the entrance to the Christian way. And so if you go back to verse 25, and think of these words this time in relation to the contrite sinner. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Here is a confession of our fallen state. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Now, the word cleaveth is the same word that's used in the second chapter of Genesis for Adam cleaving to his bride. My soul is married to the dust. What is the psalmist saying here as we think of it in terms of the repentant sinner? I have been married to my sin. I have been joined to my sin. And I come confessing my deadness. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And there's this confession, unless there's intervention, my case is hopeless. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Perhaps another way to put this, I lie prostrate in the dust. I not only confess that I'm a sinner, but I humble myself. I lie in the dust. One commentator said his affections cleaved to things below instead of being set on things above. And this is his confession now. I have been an earthbound man. But there's a plea here for resurrection life. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And surely in that verse 25, God's word then has been likened unto breath. Earlier in the psalm, we have those well-known words, thy word is a light, thy word is a lamp. But here, God's word is like breath. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Breathe into me the breath of life. In verse 26, there's this confession again. I have declared my ways. I have led out my ways before the Lord. I have confessed that I have gone my own way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There's a way that seemed right to me, and I lay it out now before the Lord. But I need to be taught the Lord's statutes. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. And here is this heaviness, the weight of sin, the sense of great guilt. And in verse 29 again, thinking of it now in the sense of the repentant sinner, remove me from the way of lying, because I have been the liar. And I've been living a lie. I've been living in the path of foolishness. Remove thy me from the way of lying. And so here then is this humility and confession. And is there not here in the brokenness of the sinner a looking then to the one who is the way, the truth, the life? So I have declared my ways, but make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. I need a new way, the one who is the way. I have been in the way of lying, verse 29, but I need to be in the way of truth, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth. But then also, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. I'm in a state of deadness. I need life. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Quicken thou me. And repentance and confession is not just the entrance to the Christian life. We don't just come to the Lord that day of our first believing in penitence and brokenness. Now we do, but surely this is to be the general tenor of our lives. We no longer hide our ways from the Lord. We declare our ways before him. There's this continual confession. I need the Lord every day. And so when it says in verse 26, I have declared my ways, the plumber said, whatever be our case, let us state it all, even as Hezekiah spread the letter before the Lord. And just as Hezekiah spread out that letter, day and daily we confess the truthfulness of our state. We lay it out before the Lord. Humility and confession is at the entrance to the Christian life, as well as being the pattern of our Christian life. But then I want to see with you also that through Christ, the believer is set on a very different way than he knew before. The believer, through Christ, is set in a very different way than he knew before. I've already shown you here that there's this contrast between verse 29, the way of lying, my way, and verse 30, the way of truth, the Lord's way. Now, if you look with me in Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 35 and the verse 8. Isaiah 35 and the verse 8. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. Remember, the key word in Daleth is the way. An highway shall be there and a way, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And so this way of Daleth is the way of the redeemed. And then verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. I mentioned on the Lord's Day afternoon how that these two words, redeemed and ransomed, really cannot be separated one from the other, where the ransom is the price to bring about redemption. And so the Lord, having paid the ransom price in his own blood, God's people are the ransomed and they are the redeemed. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And there is a fulfillment for this in the gospel, in the Christian life. We have been returned. We're brought into the Zion of the Lord, the Israel of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. Everlasting joy is upon our heads. sorrow and sighing flees away. And of course then there is this future fulfillment when we enter into that Zion above, when in the fullest sense sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now coming back to Psalm 119, I mentioned earlier that word cleaveth in verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. I'm married to the dust. I'm joined to the dust. What a contrast in verse 31. I've stuck. And again, it's the same Hebrew word, cleaved, joined, married. I am married unto thy testimonies. I've been joined to them. What I before resented, because remember I've mentioned that this word testimonies, it's emphasizing the witness to the scriptures, therefore their reliability. And beforehand, we were joined to the condemnation on account of the Lord's testimonies. But as Christ is our fulfillment, as Christ is the one that has met the just demands of the law, we're joined to him and therefore to the fulfilled law. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I have been joined. And thereby we can truly say, put me not to shame. I will not be put to shame. In the end, I will not be disappointed. Now, in the life of the Christian, then, there is a new desire after understanding. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. In verse 30, thy judgments have I laid before me. Going back to verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. The unconverted use their lack of understanding to support their claim that the scriptures are wrong. And so they come to the Bible and they see something that they don't quite understand. And they use that to support their false claim that the scriptures are false. But the child of God comes to this in a very different way. We say, I lack understanding. And so, show me. Teach me. And so the believer is in a very different way than we knew before. We were in the way of lying, in the way of deceit, where we even delighted in lying about the Bible itself. But now we delight in the truth of God's word. Now the way of lying is miserable. The way of lying is this way of lying in the dust. Now this part of the psalm comes to a triumphant conclusion. In the verse 32 it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And really, there's such a contrast here where in verse 25, we look at the athlete. And how is he? He's lying in the dust. There's no running. It seems destruction is staring him in the face. He will never enter the stadium again. This is what sin has done. But then, at the end of the psalm, what a transformation. The Lord has raised up the athlete. I will run the way of thy commandments. Here is no apathy. Here is enthusiasm. I have left behind the dust of death and despair. I'm no longer scratching in the dust like a chicken. I'm soaring to new heights. I'm like the eagle or the great athlete that is described in the book of Isaiah. I have great determination. Now, can you think of a transformation greater than being married to the dust and now running with determination, running with enthusiasm? And so if you think, for example, of an athlete and they've been reduced by great sickness, and then there's quite a turnaround and they're enabled to run the marathon, we would say, what a miracle. But the gospel is a miracle greater still. We were in that dust of death, but we have been raised up to new life where we are running. And notice in verse 32 again, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now the Lord gives the enablement to do the running. And so the athlete, he needs this strong heart in order to run. He needs the pump to be working well. The oxygen needs to be getting to every part of his body. The sin contracted our heart. Our heart needs to be enlarged if we are going to run with this enthusiasm. How is this enlargement? Surely in the whole context of Psalm 119, it's enlargement through the Word of God. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And our heart has been enlarged as the Word is before us, as we believe it, as it's applied to us. The Lord is deepening our spiritual appreciation. And so here's the testimony of the Christian. We have a daleth, we have a door. We have been brought into the way through our blessed Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been set then upon this race. We are running until we enter through another door, as it were, into the door of glory itself. And may we be enabled to keep our eyes upon Christ, to rejoice that as he has been quickened and raised up, as he talks of the Lord's wondrous works, may we be enabled to persevere through him. I trust that the Lord's word is an encouragement and a blessing to every soul. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.